where they talked to one another, where they shared gossip with one another. In a sense, the life of the polis was really played out informally in many ways in the agora. There would almost always be temples. Temples dedicated in the first place to the god or goddess to whom that city was most particularly dedicated, and then for other cults that were important to the people in that place. There would also be either a building or a public area, could be either one, where the public life of the polis was played out in more formal senses. This is where assemblies met, where legislative institutions met, perhaps where courts of law met. In other words, different from the agora, where informally the public life of the city was played out, the institutional center was where formally the life of the polis was played out. There were also, then, entertainment facilities. Generally, these were of two kinds, theaters. Many of the surviving Greek polis will show us the remains, sometimes, as for example in Athens or in one or two other places, very impressive remains of the ancient theater, and then sometimes also stadiums. You may recall our saying last time that the Greeks were very much very enamored of competition, and that that started with athletic competition that began with the Olympic Games and then eventually extended itself to games played in many Greek cities. So not surprisingly, many of the Greek polis had stadiums. Some polis also had natural fortifications. Now, these could involve, for example, walls around the city, but often there was a high point. Cities very often were built around or even on a high point. In Athens, for example, we have the Acropolis. Now, this is a stone butte that sticks up right in the middle of the city, several hundred feet above the level of most of the urban core down below it. And this was a place where, for example, temples and important buildings could be built so that people would go there in ritual procession. But it was also a place to which people could retreat if the city were ever attacked by any of its neighbors. Not every city had an Acropolis. Athens doesn't have the only Acropolis. We always think of the famous Athenian Acropolis, but there were, in fact, Acropolis in a number of Greek cities. Corinth had one, for instance. So, usually, there was also some provision provided for defending the polis. Aristotle, who wrote a great deal about Greek government, we'll have occasion in some later lectures to talk in much more detail about Aristotle. Aristotle believed that people naturally lived in polis, by nature. We associate with one another. You may have heard the old statement, Aristotle said, man is a political animal. Well, in point of fact, that's not quite what Aristotle said. What Aristotle said is, man is by nature a creature who lives in a polis. Now, of course, what you do in a polis is politike, is in a sense politics. But that really means city-ix. But we don't quite have that word. I mean, I need it right now, but I don't have it. All right? So politics, you see, is what you do in a city. And that's what Aristotle said is natural to us. We come together in communities, and we regulate our affairs. Now, Aristotle was very much interested, as a philosopher might well be, in the fact that over the Greek world, there were a large number of these polis. We know something, historically, about nearly 200 of them. Aristotle and a number of his pupils, he was kind of running like a research institution, studied the constitutions of more than 100 of these polis. Aristotle reserved it to himself to study the constitution of Athens. And in some later lectures, we'll have occasion once in a while to draw on some of Aristotle's observations about Athens. So he studied Athens. He had his pupils sort of write theses, we might almost say, about a large number of the other Greek polis, because Aristotle was very interested in discerning what was common, what was different, were there any underlying, any fundamental principles, you see. Alas, all of these other works have vanished. We have, thankfully, Aristotle's treatment of the Athenian constitution. But all of these other studies of the other Greek polis have vanished. So we know a little from other sources, from histories and chance references in plays and all sorts of things. We know a little something about these other cities, and we know that the variation could be considerable from one city to another. They were by no means alike. All right? If we were really interested in the polis, and if we really wanted to explore that subject in great detail, we'd have to assemble everything we've been able to learn about all of these polis and compare them and contrast them in all sorts of ways. We don't have time to do that here. What we're going to do instead is focus on the two most famous and in many ways the two most distinctive of the Greek polis. Sparta, in the first place, And we'll turn to that in more detail in just a second. And Athens, to which we'll turn in our next lecture. But I don't want to leave the impression that all Greek cities were either like Sparta or like Athens.